Friday, February 23rd, 2018. This is the Morning Mix. Good morning, everyone. Morning Mix, presenting live local music and events in the Wasatch. Back JW with the one and only Christy Dillowake. Morning.
Happy Powder Day.
Happy Powder Day to you.
I think it's kind of a powder day, but
yeah.
In this season, boy, we'll take everything and be psyched about it, right?
Absolutely. And you got out on Monday.
I did. I went out on Monday. I hope everybody got to enjoy that. It was pretty crowded.
Yeah.
The snow is compacted in funny ways. Like the connector routes were very whoop-de-doo, which is fun when you're sort of the only person on it. But when there's a lot of people coming at you, that was a tricky ride.
I would say the snow was tricky.
Tricky.
Yeah, because it was there was more moisture in it than I was expecting. And I saw a lot of people wiping out.
Would you say grabby? Like
it was
way?
Grabby. Mm-hmm. It was grabby in spots, and so it was. It was just a little tricky. You just had to keep your eye on it. Not your eye on it, but. So I was over at Deer Valley with my friends, and I had heard that the Orange Bubble was backed up about an hour and 15 minutes to get on the Orange Bubble to get onto the mountain. Once you got on the mountain, you could spread out.
Huh. Was that probably like right at 9? I wouldn't know.
Yeah,
I'm never
Yeah, all the powder dogs were out, yeah.
Right. And I actually had a one of those hookups where you can drive to someone's house and park and get on the slopes. So
man, you've got
I took a different route.
You got all the connections.
Hey, you're at Deer Valley.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah, pardon me. Do you have any gray poupon?
Yeah.
God, I know. We are kind of spoiled, aren't we?
Did they sell out that day? Do you know?
I don't know if they did or not. I know the fourth parking lot was filled up. You know, when they hit 6,500 tickets, boom, they stopped selling tickets. So I don't know if they did or not.
Yeah, I think there was a day over the weekend that I heard that they sold out. And I think I heard it right here on this radio station, because where else would you hear that, really?
Well, you'd have to tune in here, because this is the only place to tune in.
So. Yeah, and I think they were saying, if you were still thinking about going up, just be aware. So, yeah, you're not going to hear that on the Salt Lake station.
No.
Deer Valley sold out for the day.
Yeah. So what's cooking today?
Well, today, our musical guest was going to come from Eden, and it's definitely a powder day over there, and he said the roads were really bad, so he is going to reschedule. So you and I are going to punt a little bit on that front, but then we're going to be joined by the Timpanogos Belvederes, who are an improv troupe over in Heber, and it's Marlis Tasker and Caleb Wall. They'll be joining us at 9:20. We'll run down weekend events at the bottom of the hour. And then we're going to call Andy Frasco, who just played in Park City this weekend, but he's over at Snow Basin in a really, I haven't seen them do this yet, an after hours concert on Saturday. So we're going to talk to him about life on the road and his frantic, manic shows that he does. And then we'll talk to Renee Bodley, our general manager, a little bit about Pledge Drive, about the state of being the new general manager, about herding this studio of cats around and keeping us going.
Yeah, start down at Fox. I mean, she ran a pretty big organization. There are like 100 people she was responsible for. Then to come up and be one of our cub reporters from our crack news team, that was pretty cool. And then to transition into general managership, you know.
It's all gone downhill for her.
Oh.
No, don't tell her I said that.
But I'm excited about this. It only happens a couple times a year, and that's Pledge Drive. I love Pledge Drive because the whole community, and just seeing them support the station and talk about the station and all of that, there's a ton of energy around here. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right. We'll be here.
Yeah. And we're going to be talking about Pledge Drive. So this is KPCW in Park City. Listening to the Morning Mix. It's JW with Christy Dillaway, and we shall return right after these messages.
G'day, this is Ashley from Campus Coffee, happy to sponsor programming on KPCW. We can't wait to serve the Park City locals this winter. We're excited by our breakfast and lunch menu to complement our espresso drinks. Campus Coffee is open daily at the base of Park City Mountain Resort, up the stairs from the ice rink next to the Adirondack chairs. CampusCoffee.com.
Support for KPCW comes from the Crandall family, owners of the New Park Amphitheater, site of the New Park Concert Series, and numerous other community events.
Hi, I'm Tom Pettigrew from Park City Mountain and a proud supporter of KPCW. Park City Mountain instructors share their love of skiing and snowboarding with guests, helping them improve their skills and enjoy the mountain. More information on Ski and Snowboard School and other programs at parkcitymountain.com.
If you're just joining us, this is Christy Dillaway and JW on The Morning Mix. We usually have our live musical guest in this segment, and as I said, he got stuck with bad roads. So JW, I would love to, let's go down memory lane a little bit about some of our favorite musical guests or interview guests that we've had in the time that you've been here. You've been here longer than me.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun with our musical guests and with folks that have come in on, you know, national tours and those sorts of things. And it's been a lot of fun. And to be able to sit here on a Friday morning with a cup of coffee and to have someone who is, let's say, 18 or 19 years old, that's playing acoustic guitar and their heart's out on the table talking about love lost or love found. And I'm always wondering, how did they get so much experience? But just a few feet away from us and they're sharing these intimate moments in their life, and they're young musicians and they're really excited about it. I mean, it's just great having live music every show.
Or then what about last week when we had Telluride Meltdown, who were not young musicians, but Chubby Checker was our next guest, and he was in here holding the boom mic for them. Remember that?
And they met in the green room.
Oh, yeah, they were jamming in the green room.
And they're jamming in the green room. Chubby's in the middle of the whole thing, and they're singing. They're teaching him a song. He's teaching one of his songs, and they're dancing, and Chubby's twisting with these guys.
Oh, was he twisting?
Yeah,
I didn't turn around.
And he's looking at me, and he's pointing. Yeah, it was just great. Yeah.
Well, I do want to mention that your brother, KW, is in the studio.
The one and only KW from Boston, Massachusetts. K-Dubs.
Good morning, KPCW listeners. It's a pleasure
to
be here.
Oh, natural.
Yeah. Jeez, yeah.
Oh, you can sub for J-Dub.
I've got a good face for radio. I definitely do.
Don't we all?
Yeah, I'm sure you've heard that a few times.
Yeah. But, hey, welcome to the show.
As we came into the studio, I said, make sure your cell phones are off. And he's like, oh, I'm going to leave it out in the green room. Just, I don't want to be that guy. But remember that guy, Mitch Ryder?
Do. Give me a break. Yeah.
he answered the phone on the air.
Yeah.
We always think that's so funny. That
his daughter was looking for advice on a used car, and he's going through, and she's going through the accessories, and he's saying, oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I like power seats. And
I just was thinking, he's done radio interviews before, right? Like, he knows he's on air. That's what was going through my head. And I was here representing Egyptian Theater. I really just had brought him in
right
for you and Peg to interview. And he was having his conversation long enough that I think I just got on the mic and was like, so the tickets are, we just sort of took over the conversation until he finished his call.
Yeah, it was early in the morning for him, I think.
Well, for all our musicians.
But particularly for him.
He told me a story in the car about some last weekend of drug use and
I'm sure
named some things. I don't know what they were.
Yeah. But he, I asked him, I said, Mitch, you're a rock star, man. You don't have to keep doing this, but you have all these travel dates. I think he had 220 travel dates or 220 gigs or something. He's constantly on the move. And he said, I've had both hips replaced. I've got three ex-wives and a current wife, and I got a whole bunch of kids, and I need the dough. So,
and to get out of the house.
Maybe. And to get out of the house, I'm sure. God, yeah.
What about, I remember you were talking to Mark Farner from Grand Funk Railroad.
Yeah.
And you were saying something about taking your fraternity social fund and buying tickets?
I wasn't in a fraternity. I was a freshman at University of Maryland. I was in a dorm with a bunch of guys. It was an all-guys dorm. And for some reason, they thought that I'd be a good social chairman, and they had saved up all this money.
You would be a good social chairman.
Well, but not fiscally. And so they had all this money saved up, and I think I was on the job like a day, and I blew the whole wad that they had. They'd saved this up for I don't know how many years, and I bought a block of tickets for the entire dorm to go see Grand Funk Railroad, and we were right up front. We had a great time.
That sounds like a great use of their money. Did they all enjoy it? Did they?
Yeah, everybody had a blast. Yeah, we were all Grand Funk freaks, Mark Farner freaks. We liked him.
And was that back in the day of they were huge?
They were in their prime.
They were
yeah, because it was the 70s. Yeah, during the 70s, they sold out they sold out more live venues, large venues, than anybody else.
Yeah, they said that they sold out Shea Stadium faster than the Beatles. And then he was telling stories about there'd be so many people in the stadium, and then this other exponential number of people outside the stadium, which I didn't quite understand. If you'd show up to Shea Stadium without a ticket, but maybe security wasn't great then, and they were just thinking they could get in? Because he said there was like, whatever Shea Stadium holds, what, right, maybe 20,000 or
yeah,
five. Mm-hmm. And then there'd be another 5,000 people in the parking lot. And how when they helicoptered in, which I thought was pretty cool,
yeah,
they could just feel and hear the roar of the crowd coming yeah up towards the helicopter.
Right.
How terrifying that would be to be like, and now you're going to step out on stage and entertain this mass.
And then years later, he was asked by Ringo Starr to play in Ringo Starr's All-Star Band, which is a pretty cool band, has been a pretty cool band, different configurations over the years. And so Mark Farner's playing guitar for him, and he reminded Ringo that they had Shea Stadium out quicker than the Beatles. And Ringo said, yeah, man, but I married a Bond girl. You know, so, something like that, you know. And Ringo did marry a Bond girl.
Did he?
How cool is that?
I think that's probably everyone's dream.
Play drums for the Beatles and be married to a Bond girl? Maybe playing drums for the Beatles.
In my next life, I'll pick a story more like that.
Yeah. KW, what do you think? Oh, KW, tell us your own thoughts on Mark Farner, because you were a fan as well.
Grand Funk back in the day was incredible. You know, going from On Time to the Red Album, second album, Closer to Home, just, you know.
Yeah.
And then things got a little different for him. But I think Mark Farner was a pioneer of great tone back mm-hmm in the day.
Yeah.
Back in the day, JW, you and I always thought, we thought he had a souped-up Les Paul all those years. And it never was. It was this
stock guitar.
It was a Messenger. It was, and no one else made them. It was a semi-hollow body guitar. Not to get really technical or anything, but it had a really clean tone, but he had the ability to get it really, really dirty when it had to be.
Yeah.
But they had a great sound, and I think that had a lot to do with the sound of them and great songwriting. And the guy had a set of pipes.
He could still sing,
I'm sure.
And he was good-looking with his shirt off, which a lot of those photos, he had his shirt off. Remember back in the day when the bands, the guitarists always took their shirt
off?
Oh, yeah.
Big leather band on his
arm. That'd be kind of weird to see that now, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah.
Chili Peppers, he still takes his shirt off, but it would be weird.
It would.
I remember even in the bars in Park City, like the band, sometimes they'd take their shirt off.
Yeah.
Huh, that does seem really out of
that
place
was cool
now.
I can remember a day where I could actually take my shirt off. Those days no longer exist.
Hey, has Lucas Nelson ever taken his shirt off?
Ooh, I wish I'd see that.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen that, no.
Yeah, KW, you know Lucas Nelson?
I don't know Lucas Nelson.
Yeah, he's Willie's son, and this guy knows how to play guitar.
Really?
And he can sing, and Neil Young hired his entire band to be his backup band on the last world tour.
He's very sexy.
He's very sexy?
Besides the talent on the guitar, he's very sexy.
I'm not sure I'd pick up on that attribute, but...
You would, and the women all around you would be clearly implying it, so you would know.
Christy and I were like 30 people. There were no chairs or seats or anything. It was an outdoor concert. We're like 30 back, and she's hula hooping and stuff like that. Lucas Nelson comes on. Oh, she runs to the front. You had that big smile.
I'm a fifth row girl.
I know you are.
When you said 30th row, I'm like, oh, what was I doing back there?
Yeah.
Oh, if I was hula hooping, I was looking for space.
Yeah, but, you're looking for space, yeah.
Right, but then once Lucas came on, I'm fifth row.
Yeah.
What classifies a fifth row girl?
Well, front row, you kind of have to fight for it, and you can't really dance because you don't have a front area, whatever. And by the time you get to the fifth row, people have kind of settled into what their space is, and I have to be able to dance.
So you can dance and take in the whole thing without any.
Yeah, if no one's in the front row, I'll take the front row just to encourage the movement, you know.
Yeah.
But once people get up there, I'll go fifth row.
What was Judy Collins telling us about staying at? It's somebody's house.
Oh, wasn't she? She was saying that she was at Joni Mitchell's ranch. I'm picturing it was in California or it was in Vermont.
Okay.
This is my picture of it. And she's staying in a bedroom upstairs. It's the summer. The window's open. I think it's like super early in the morning. And someone's playing a guitar kind of outside her window and keeps playing the same lick over and over or starting to sing the same part
it's
of a song.
It's annoying her.
And it was like early, like 6 a.m. or something, and she was like, God, what? Who is that? Stop, you know? And it was come to find out, soon to be known as Bob Dylan. And I think, wasn't it Blowing in the Wind he was working on?
Or yeah, yeah.
Something yeah. that she was, but it was the same bit over and over and over again. They said that he'd write his albums, like, you'd go to the studio, the band would, like, play ping pong, or whatever they were playing, and he'd sit down and write, and around 6 a.m. they'd record an album that they had never heard before or played before, and that was his session.
You know, those stories are fascinating, how these different things come together. And Judy Collins is the first concert I ever went to. It was in the seventh grade.
Little gaga when she was here.
I was gaga. I love Judy. And we were at Symphony Hall in Boston. And I remember the guitar being out there all by itself. And somebody explained to me, well, but guitar has to acclimate itself to the room and all these different things. And then Judy came out and just blew everybody away. But the one story she told that I liked a lot, because besides Judy Collins, I'm a Leonard Cohen nut, and she got a call from Leonard, and they were good friends, and he said, I'm going to put the phone down and play a song for you. Leonard puts the phone down, and he plays Suzanne. He had just written Suzanne, and she said, I want that song, and that ended up being one of her greatest hits.
Wow. I do love those stories.
Yeah.
I remember I brought her in to talk to you and Peg, and I was sitting in the third seat, and she was talking to you guys, and then she turned to me during the interview and was talking to me and looking at me, and I was like, oh my God, now I know what they mean about those blue eyes.
Yeah.
I was kind of dumbfounded when she looked at me, and I was like, thank God I don't have to respond.
Yeah.
They are big and blue and really it's quite unnerving.
Yeah. So these are all these classics, but KW and his two daughters, my two nieces, went to the Paula Cole show last night at the Egyptian. And we're going to, of course, announce that in weekend events. And we were so surprised. We knew her hits. She had a couple hits. And she's been doing this for a long time. But she blew us away.
She
was spectacular. She really was. It was a good show.
Really, really good show. And her two musicians, she was with a gentleman on stand-up bass and a gentleman playing different variations of guitar. And she on piano and without the piano. I mean, they were great. Really good.
Excellent. So she's playing again tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday?
I don't know about Sunday.
I'll look it up.
I think tonight and tomorrow.
Okay. Well, good to know. That's a first-hand review.
Yeah, don't miss that show. They're musicians, you know. It's musicians' music.
And such a great venue. I mean, you're just part of it.
First time in the Egyptian Theater for me, and absolutely loved it. Beautiful, beautiful.
Isn't that a cool place?
It's a really cool place.
1 out of 10, you'd buy it again?
I'm sorry?
10 out of 10, you'd buy it again?
I'd buy it again.
Hey, should we underwrite her and bring in the next guest?
I think it's a great idea. You're listening to The Morning Mix on KPCW in Park City. JW here with Christy and KW. We'll be back right after these messages. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Steve Roney, owner and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Utah Properties. We are proud supporters of KPCW, our local source for Park City news. Join me in supporting our community's radio station during the upcoming Winter Pledge Drive and online auction February 26th through March 2nd. The KPCW Winter Pledge Drive, your community public radio station, needs your support.
Hi, this is Damon Rogers, General Manager of Park Meadows Country Club. We are happy to support the mountain life on KPCW. Our new clubhouse just opened and features private dining with views of the Park City Ski Mountains. Plus, we have year-round golf, a fitness center, and amenities. More info at parkmeadowscc.com.
Welcome back to The Morning Mix. Our guests in studio right now are the Timpanogos Belvederes. They're an improv troupe from Heber. I've got Sean Tasker, Marlise Tasker, and Caleb Wall. Welcome to the studio.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
How long has the Timpanogos Belvederes been a troupe? Let's start with that.
Basically 2 years. I think it was 2 years in a Christmas, right? Yeah.
So they have a last Saturday of the month improv show every month at the Timpanogos Valley Theater in Heber. So the show is tomorrow night. Usually it's at 7 p.m., but there's a show, Princess Academy going on. So you guys are having a late night show, 10 o'clock in Heber, which I don't know that anything's ever started at 10 o'clock in Heber. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're skirting the edge of society down there.
Yeah. Right.
How'd you all meet each other? How'd you get together? How'd you decide to be improv artists? What's going on here?
So there was a show down at the Timpanogos Valley Theater. What was the show you did, Marlise?
The Curious Savage a few years back.
Yeah, and then there was a couple of the actors in that. One of them had done previous improv troupes like down in Salt Lake and Provo, and he was like, "Oh, I want to start one here." And we, at the cast party, we were all talking about it and just decided, "Why not? Just to start doing it."
Okay. Yeah.
So we started with a pretty basic Christmas show. Everybody wore ugly sweaters, and then it just went up from there.
Yeah.
And how's the turnout been? What's the audience like?
The first year was more of a trial year to see if Heber even wanted to see improv comedy. Yeah. And it was actually fairly successful. So we've consistently been getting 40 to 50 people each show.
Wow. Yeah. Good.
And then our key demographics are the high school students and then the senior citizen center. There's always at least one Vietnam veteran hat in the audience somewhere.
Yeah. There were some Second City people from Chicago that came into Salt Lake that were meeting with different improv troops, just telling them about their perspective on the trade and you know, different tips and things like that. Did you guys have an opportunity to meet with any of them?
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, no, it didn't sound familiar at all. Bummer.
Yeah.
We are out of the loop.
What email address are you, e-blast are you on?
What e-blast am I on? I'm not on any blast. I don't think I am. I might be and not know it. I don't know.
It's been a lot of fun. We've been able to play with the PC improv troupe that's here a lot. We've learned a lot from them. We've been able to visit people down in Salt Lake and in Provo, Orem area, and even practice with the high school troops that are around here. It's a really fun time for everybody.
Yeah, last week you did something at the Park City High School at the Eccles, right? With the high school troops.
Yeah. So it was our troop, the adult PC troop. I think they're called the Not PC Players, or that was their name previously.
Right.
And then the Wasatch High School has an improv troop, and then the Park City High School has an improv troop. We all just did like a 3-hour show together. We all took turns. It was really cool.
And you work with John Burdick. You know John? He works for us now.
Yeah. We actually just said hi to him.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So
yeah.
I love the idea that I think everything kind of gets a groundswell and gets bigger and bigger. So we've been really supporting music in our community, and a lot of people in this town support music in our community, but it's just growing and growing. And when you have more and more people doing improv, then you cultivate the audience, you educate the audience, and then you kind of make it part of their entertainment choices.
Yeah.
So that's great. I mean, kudos for doing it in Heber, too, because I had a house in Heber for 6 years, and my entire social life was here. There was never anything going on that was aimed towards me, I guess.
Yeah, our goal is to change that. We're making Heber cool again. So. No, it's always been cool, but...
Christy, yeah. You never went to the ice castles?
I never did go to the ice castles, although that's only in the recent years.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Did you go?
Oh, yeah, I love that. Yeah.
It's always on my list to go, but mm-hmm. then I...
Never
then
it
melts.
It.
It's like my cross-country skis.
Yeah.
I'm going to use those this season, and then it melts before I have a chance.
Yeah, but there's so much going on in Heber right now, so that is pretty cool, and that's good. Yeah.
I worked there at the ice castles for a little bit. I put on some crampons and would drag people around in a sled.
Oh, fun.
Okay. It was fun.
Yeah.
But it did melt, right? I think it's done for the season.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they buttoned up because it was unseasonably warm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the key to being an improv player?
The number one rule is always yes and. Whatever anyone gives you, you just kind of accept it as reality and then give something back to the story or to the scene or whatever it is. But then we've been able to nail down four like specific things you need to focus on. What were they?
Yeah, so obviously...
I am so focused on those four things.
So obviously we have the humor of improv comedy. You want to be witty, you want to make people laugh. That's kind of why people pay to come see you.
Right.
And then there's the craft of each specific game. Even though it's improv and you're doing everything on the spot, there still is somewhat of a structure to each game. So you kind of know what you're going into. And then two of the biggest things that the audience may not necessarily see is support and listening. To make an improv group from good to great, to listen to each other and support each other in each scene that you're doing is extremely important, and it can make and break a show.
Yeah.
You'd have to stay really open, I would think. So you're listening, but you're not forming your responses until it's time. But then how do you know when it's your time? Because all of a sudden it's your time.
You don't ever know that. you just go out there and hope for the best. And that's kind of is just trusting yourself. Sometimes you'll open your mouth and you don't even know what you're going to say yet. You might not even know who you are as a character yet. But it's like kind of having the confidence of just going out and finding something. So it's kind of scary, but that's the fun in it too.
And you have to trust the other members of the troop too. Yeah. It's not just yourself. You need to be able to know that you've got each other's back.
And you'd have to dare to fail. You'd have to be like, this might not work because I don't even know what it is yet as I say it, but maybe I can recover it.
Like, I think we've had some people walk on stage as a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And you just kind of have to trust that, you know, oh, this person's making a bizarre choice, but I think they have somewhere that they're going with it. So I'm going to be like, all right, yeah, no, you're a PB&J. Let's keep going. Let's try to make this the reality, which is it's fun, but it's hard sometimes.
Creatively, you have infinite choices. And sometimes that can be very daunting. You just step out into this void. And from there, you just create. I mean, with a normal show for theater or for film, you have a script and you can make some choices. But with improv, you can be anybody, be anything, and you have to rely on your other players to catch on to what you're doing.
That's kind of the bittersweetness of improv is there's no bounds. You know, you get to create something new every single time, and then 2 or 3 minutes later, those characters and those stories, they just die.
Yeah,
and so it kind of sucks, but it's a ton of fun too. Yeah. And I think especially with this group. A lot of us are really close friends. We spend a lot of time with each other outside of our workshops and our performances and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, like you're saying, how you kind of have to trust each other and just like let the other person take the reins sometimes. It helps that we're all, you know, close friends and kind of have to do that, you know, in real life anyway. Yeah. And that's basically what improv is anyways. Real life is just improv, but you get to be you.
Yeah.
I had an opportunity to look at a couple of YouTube videos of your troupe. And it's very good. And were there 6 or 7 of you, or are there older YouTubes, or like how many in the troupe total?
So our workshops that we have every Wednesday are open to anybody. And so usually we have anywhere between 10 and 20 people every Wednesday. And then for performances, we have anywhere from 6 to 10 people playing.
Okay. And that would be the last Saturday of every month at the Timpanogos Theater, is that correct?
Timpanogos Valley Theater, yeah.
Valley Theater, okay.
And when are the workshops are Wednesday where? Same place?
Same place. Those are from 7 to 9. It's open to anybody. We've had lots of people come just drop by to come play some games and have a good time.
Yeah, or even just to watch, just to see like what it is behind the scenes. You know, they'll see a couple shows and be like, but how did they get there? And so
they'll just
come watch us figure it all out.
And is there a cost to the show?
So typically it's $5, 2 for $8. If you bring your whole family, it's $20. Usually there's some discounts flying around, so it's cheaper.
And it's usually 7 p.m., but tomorrow night is 10 p.m. is your start. So I'm curious, how does the whole thing start? The audience is there. It's time for the show. How's the whole thing start?
So Caleb here is our music guy, and that's something that we have that's kind of different than other improv troupes. We do a lot of musical games, so it's almost like a late night talk show. He'll come out and play some music and introduce the MC for the night, and it starts off the night really well and with a lot of high energy.
Yeah, so we'll bring on everyone on stage, introduce everybody, and then we just jump right into the game, whatever the first game is.
Okay. Well, listen, break a leg tomorrow night. Have a great show. And
thank you very much.
And thanks for joining us, and thanks for being professional actors. Bringing on things in Heber, which is a great area. I mean, it's just there's so much going on there right now.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
This is a lot of fun.
So, we shall return right after this. We're going to play a little song from Andy Frasco and the UN. This is My Recovery. You're listening to KPCW in Park City. This is the Morning Mix.
I'm a giver. I'm a gambler. I'm an addict and a cheater. I was an angel in my mother's eyes, but this life made me leave her. Well, the time ends never right now for the sunshine to go away. And if the darkness brings you down somehow, know that there will be another day. So fix me up.
Fix me up.
Yeah, fix me up.
Fix me up.
Well, fix me up.
We'll
picks me up with what I need. 'Cause I need something new. I've opened up to see the view. I'll be my recovery.
In the UN. We are joined on the phone by Andy Frasco. Welcome.
What's up?
Yeah. All right, I'm going to remind you, we are on live air, so I know you have a penchant for some bad words slipping in.
Never waking me up.
We love colorful language, but just not on air.
Right.
Yeah. I got you. Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm in high spirits today.
Awesome. Oh, Andy just played at OP Rockwell on Sunday. Great show. Snowy night, but a great show. And you're playing a special after-hours gig at Snow Basin. They have been huge supporters, and I love the music that goes on over there. And I know they bring you back. Absolutely. I know they bring you back at any way they can, and I think they must have just created this gig to capitalize on you were coming through. Is that the way it happened?
Yeah, they whenever I tell I'm in the area, I always hit Snow Basin up first and say, we could throw a party. They always are down to do it, which is cool and fun. So this is their first night show. They haven't done a night show before. So
yeah, it's funny because they don't have lodging there. So without lodging there, it's hard to capture their skiers and keep them going. And they have great après ski music in the Cinnabar bar. But then people go home. So how is the after hours working and where is it?
They're doing it inside, you know, like the restaurant.
Yeah, so like the Skier Day Lodge?
Skier Day Lodge, yeah, and they're taking out all the seats and making this big stage. And
wow.
It should be pretty fun. Yeah, I think we sold a lot of tickets. And I think, you know, it's most of the people that are going to probably show up are like people who live like near Huntsville and like down the hill near Ogden. So if they do drink, it's not too far.
You know, Andy, Christy has been on a whole bunch of booze cruises and blues cruises blues cruises and stuff like that. What is a Rock the Boat music cruise?
Oh, man. We just did it. It's fun. It's like it happens. It just happened, actually. It's hosted by Six Man and Sister Hazel. And they basically have all these folk bands that come on a boat and play music, and we're like the only rowdy party band. It's kind of a weird setting, but like you meet your fans, and it's cool. You're with your fans for 5 days, and there's no hiding that. So you could, unless you want to just hide in your hotel room for 5 days, and that sounds boring. And everyone's super cool. They buy you, like, they'll take care of the band. This is the moment for the bands and the artists to hang out.
There's no hiding when you're Andy Frasco. Have you seen his fro? It's a big part of the show, the fro. And I remember one time I was in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
The personality's pretty big, too, as I recall.
But I was in Fayetteville, Arkansas, behind a bar in the alley, and I looked down the alley and I go, is that Andy Frasco? I could just see your hair.
Oh, yeah. I remember that Tap M Watcher.
So Christy told me that going and hearing the bands on the cruise is a lot of fun. But most of the fun happens afterwards when the bands are getting together with each other and collaborating and just rocking through the night. So what's that all
about? More like, I think it's like don't put 70 musicians all in a room together because the party won't stop. You know, we played jam cruise. That's where like a lot of the jamming happens. Like we played with Carl Denson and and Robert Randolph and us and Roosevelt Collier, and you know, they, that scene is just like, they'll find a room to jam in. Like, those were the best parties, like 3 a.m. sets where, you know, I could create a super group. So I'll have, you know, the bass player of Grey Boy All-Stars, and I'll have, you know, I get to pick, like, through a lineup of all these amazing musicians and throw a party. And it's like that one time a year where all your friends, you get to hang out with your friends for 5 days straight, because when you're touring, you only get to hang out in 1 day a year, 2 days a year, because everyone has a different tour schedule. So it forces everyone to, like, get together and write music, and it helps for the year, because you could, you know, build these collaborations with new artists you never thought you did, and hear their stuff, and you could hear, they could hear your stuff, and it's just a fun stuff. It's a fun vibe.
Speaking of touring, you're one of those road dogs, relentlessly touring on and internationally. You have huge gigs in, well, I know in Amsterdam and in China, and then this year you added. Did you play in Thailand, or was that the vacation part after the big China tour?
I did. I took my band on a spiritual awakening. We went to Bangkok, and we got to play a little bit, write some music. We're in the midst of finishing our record, so I don't get, now that all, my band has girlfriends and wives and stuff, I only get them when they're on the road with me, so I have to take advantage of that as much as I can. We went to Thailand, we went to Hong Kong, we went to Macau. Yeah, we've been, this last month and a half, we've been in 7 countries.
Wow. You can compete with me. I've got a 72 country count going, but...
Yeah. Yeah, you travel way more than me.
I was in Kimball Junction last week.
Yeah.
Well, Andy...
I went to Kimball Junction last night.
Oh, were you?
We watched Black Panther. I think that's in Kimball Junction. Oh, yeah. No. I went to the Skull Candy headquarters.
Oh,
yeah,
got it.
Big place, man.
That's a cool looking building, isn't it?
Oh, it's super cool. Everyone is super cool out there.
Yeah.
Okay, it's cool. My buddy Rick, you know, Rick's from Park City.
Uh-huh.
He lives in Park City. Yeah, he's a homie. So.
Nice. And you are quite introspective in your the Afro Manifesto, and the I hear you have a podcast coming up, Andy Frasco.
Yeah.
What is it? World Saving Podcast?
Andy Frasco's World Saving Podcast.
I'll be interested to listen to that.
So you're going to save the world. Yeah, thank goodness someone's going to do that.
You know, it's everything the world needs at this moment. You know, we talk politics, we talk junk, we need musicians and like comedians and people who just followed their path and got to where they are and didn't, you know, and sacrificed everything just to see their dreams come true. And, you know, I got to interview a few guys from the Stones, and I got to interview, who else did I interview? Marcus King, who's pretty awesome, and Carl Denson, and I got to, you know, I interviewed a couple comedians. And
that's awesome.
Cool, 'cause I get to travel around the country and just...
And I think a lot of your message is, like, don't give up on your dreams. You never know, or you know,
yeah.
And just keep going, and you can make it happen. And I find that really inspiring to read when I see the posts, and I really enjoy them. So I think that when people say, oh, I don't read Facebook because it's all politics, you can cultivate what you see and who you pay attention to. And so
yeah,
I appreciate following
too,
you.
Yeah, that's in life, too. I appreciate that, Chrissy. It's like, that's in life, like. You could surround yourself with better people if you want to. You don't have to surround yourself with these people who bring you down. You know, I want to show people that the world is a lot closer than we think you are, especially with technology and stuff, and how we can keep up with friends that might not be your neighbor, but have a better outlook on life. You could still be their friends, and you can, you know, you can make a difference in this world if you just open your eyes and try.
So anyone who hasn't seen an Andy Frasco in the UN show, they should know that it is a very unifying, elevating...
Eclectic.
There's definitely a high energy that you start to cultivate into the audience immediately. I mean, kind of hit the stage and the whole thing goes bang and everyone's partying to the left and partying to the right and doing the dance moves, and it is very elevating. So if you haven't seen Andy and you want to check him out tomorrow night at Snow Basin, what time's that show start?
Oh, you're asking the wrong
question. It's after hours.
I think it's after hours. So I'm assuming, I don't think it's going to be too late. It's probably 8 or 9.
All right, so check it out. You can go look at the Snow Basin website. And they always have great music over at Snow Basin. If you haven't gone to check out their series, do. And stay tuned for the summer when they do the Blues, Brews, and Barbecue series. And I think we'll probably have a return of Frofest. So go look for your Afro wigs.
Yeah.
What? Is there a date for it?
We got this legit theme, yeah. Yeah.
I think we're losing the connection, but thanks so much for joining us.
And thanks, Andy. Have a great show.
You. All right. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
Okay,
bye.
You too. So we're going to take a quick break for one underwriter. When we return, weather, weekend events, and Renee Bodley Miller, who is our general manager extraordinaire. Stay with us. Morning Mix on KPCW in Park City.
This is Beth, owner of Peak Art and Frame, local sponsors of Cool Science Radio on KPCW. Locally owned and operated, Peak Art and Frame offers local artwork as well as digital printing, custom framework, and mirrors. Open Monday through Saturday and located in the Walmart Shopping Center, 649-0801 or peakartandframe.com.
And we are back. Welcome to the Morning Mix on KPCW in Park City. I'm going to tell you about the weather quickly. 15 degrees outside the Sweet Alley Studios in Old Town, directly over the liquor store. How cool is that? There is a winter weather advisory through 5 p.m. today. 90% chance of snow. 1 to 3 inches possible between now and 5. Tonight, 20% chance of snow showers. The percentage dies down just a little bit. But it could be cool, as low as minus 12 with the wind chill when you do the math. Saturday, 40% chance of snow, mainly after 11 a.m. Saturday night. Snow, maybe 1 inch to 3 inches possible. And finally, Sunday, 20% chance of snow before 11 a.m. We were surprised, delightfully surprised, with Monday's snow, and we're hoping that this weekend will continue to pound the slopes. So that's what's cooking there. We're going to do weekend events for you now.
Tonight, the Park City Film Series has one final free screening. Actually, it's this afternoon. It's for the kids who are out of school this week. They're showing Toy Story 3 at the library building at 4. For their regular weekend screenings, they've got Call Me By Your Name, which is, I believe, an Academy Award nominee. That's tonight and Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 6 at the Jim Sandy Auditorium.
Well, it's the last Friday of the month. That means Gallery Stroll. It's put on by the Park City Gallery Association. It is free, and it is good for art lovers of all ages. If you're coming into Main Street, you're going to get a bite to eat, meet your friends for a beverage, something like that. Check out some of the galleries. A lot of good stuff in town.
Art Smarts Youth Theater has performances of Princess Academy. It's tonight and tomorrow night at the Timpanogos Valley Theater in Heber. The shows are at 7 p.m.
And I think I have a different one than you do, so why don't you do the next one?
Live music around town today includes Modest Yahoo at Park City Live. Actually, I think that's tomorrow. Did I get that wrong?
No, that's Friday.
That is Friday. Okay. Paula Cole's at the Egyptian Theater. Donner Pass is at the Spur. Scott Kleismith is at Whole Foods. He was on our show a little while ago. And Take 5 is at Silver Star Cafe.
We will move to Saturday. Saturday's Aggie Day at Swanner Eco Center. Utah State University Alumni Association invites all Aggies and friends to join a day of snowshoeing, crafts, climbing, hot dogs, s'mores, Big Blue, and more. It's free for you Aggies from 9:30 until 2.
And you Aggies know who you are. The Wasatch Citizen Series is holding a 20K skate race at White Pine Touring Center on Saturday. It starts at 10 a.m. There's heats for all ages, so everyone can get involved.
Park City Film Series offers a screening of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, which will be broadcast live to cinemas worldwide from the stage of the Harold Pinter Theater in London. The screening's $20 for adults, $10 with a student ID, show at 3 p.m.
Park City Mountain challenges you to the Seven Summit Challenge. This challenge is for skiers and snowboarders who want to hit the whole mountain, wall to wall, hike a handful of peaks, shred the best powder stashes, and advanced terrain all in one day. So you check in at Legacy Lodge, and you finish at the final checkpoint at Red Pine Lodge.
Christy, I don't know if I have all the live music, but I certainly have this for Saturday, Dar Williams at the Eccles Center.
Also, Triggers and Slips is at Canyons Village for Après Ski. Bro Band is at PCMR. Paula Cole's at Egyptian Theater again. Mr. Sister is at Silver Star Cafe. Bonanza Town is at The Cabin. And Rage Against the Supremes are at The Spur.
Let's move to Sunday. You can join artist Bridget Meinhold at Swanner Preserve and Eco Center for a creative meetup event. Bring your own tools to make an inspired by nature and surroundings of the preserve. It's from 3 to 5. They suggest a $5 donation. Maybe even donate more. Swanner Eco Center is a pretty cool place.
Maybe even. Live music on Sunday. There's the California reggae band, The Hold Up. They're at OP Rockwell, and Dueling Pianos are at The Spur.
Ooh.
And for the concert announcement hotline, Slightly Stupid just announced that they're playing at the Salt Lake Library Square on August 4th, and there are Stupid Heads VIP packages on sale now, which include a very special viewing section, early entry wristband, Slightly Stupid logoed koozie backpack and beach towel, and commemorative tour poster. So if you're thinking about your summer concerts, and aren't we all, that might be one you want to put on your list.
You know, she ran the very successful Fox organization down in Salt Lake, and I don't know how Larry is able to get her, but he snagged her and got her to be one of our great reporters in our crack news team here at KPCW. She moved on to be general manager. There wasn't a question in the house. Everybody was just so excited about her being our general manager extraordinaire, and she is with us right now, Renee Bodley Miller, my cubby.
Hello, JW and Christy, and JW's family, and good morning to everyone listening out there on this fine snowy Friday.
Yeah, we were talking earlier. I'm so excited about Pledge Drive. It only comes twice a year, but when you tune into the radio and you hear the community talking about this, you know, really talking about what we do and what it means to them and the value that they see in the product that we provide, it's very exciting because it just makes you feel good because we work so hard at the station.
Man, do we ever work hard. The staff is back there right now. It's a great study in organized chaos. We have so many local businesses and local nonprofits who step up and chip in and help us with this. The businesses give us a lot of thank you gifts that we in turn give to the people who call in donations. Great restaurant gift certificates, services like spas, ski passes. It's just a great time to go shopping, quite frankly, and support public radio at the same time. So the phone lines open next Monday, 7 a.m., and we'll be taking calls every day, Monday through Thursday, until 6 p.m., and the online auction goes all the way through Friday. And the volunteers have done a great job this year of soliciting new businesses who have given us some new donations. So if you think it's the same old on KPCW, It's a new year and new pledge drive. And I'm real excited about the possibilities of our pledges next week.
I'm definitely susceptible to the guilting of if you listen every day, you should pay for it. And I'm like, you know, that's a good argument. I do listen every day. You're right. I should pay for it. So
that
is definitely works on me. But also when suddenly there's some great premium that I'm like, I got calling. I already called. I'll call again.
Thank you. Because think about it. If you give $5 a month, if you listen to our local news reports, if you listen to our great public affairs shows, if someone just heard something in the weekend listings that you guys just read, I was sitting here making notes going, ooh, I'm going to go to Dar Williams on Saturday. I'm going to go to Call Me By Your Name on Sunday. And so many people hear about that through our radio station. And everyone has, you know, the Sirius XM now. But what that doesn't give you is that local news and information. And that's what makes this community, I think, such a strong, connected community, is that people have this, what we call community bulletin board or the community campfire, KPCW. It gets everyone on the same page. They all hear about the new parking fees at China Bridge. They hear about the backup on 224 in the afternoon when all the resorts are letting out. They hear what the Park City Film Series has going on. They hear what Park City Institute has going on. They hear about the gallery stroll, which is great. I love our gallery strolls. So if you want to know what's happening in Summit and Wasatch counties, this is the place you go to.
The lights went on for me about 5 years ago when I was coming up Interstate 80, and I was coming up on Jeremy, and there was a fire behind Jeremy, and there was smoke everywhere. Instinctively, I turned to KPCW.
Went on.
And Lynn Ware Peak was standing shoulder to shoulder with the fire chief. She had orange gob on her and her car from the helicopter, and she's reporting real time what's going on. And That's the type. I mean, you look at the value from the Crack News team or from our DJs that are great, eclectic personalities, volunteer Air Force. You look at the public affairs shows, all the different things that, we provide.
And think of what Christy Dilloway has helped us do over the past few months with updating our playlist. Right, Christy? We've put in 1,600 new songs since June.
Those aren't all my suggestions, but a lot of them are, and I love it when I hear them, and I think, yeah, that plays well.
Because Christy knows new music, and so she goes to all these music festivals all around. I mean, nice job you have there, Christy, going to music festivals. And then she comes
it's
back.
It's a good job if you could get it.
Yeah, and she comes back and says, there's a great band that I just heard at the, what, Telluride Music Festival was one of them?
Right, I interviewed the record company, and they're playing at Park City for Spring Groove. I'm so excited. I got a text from the drummer the other day.
So she keeps
trying to get him in on the air.
She keeps us in the know, and then she's spreads the word to our volunteer DJs, and who are fabulous, you're right, our volunteer Air Force, and then they put the word out about where they're playing. I just can't say enough about how great our DJs are, how great our staff is, and how proud I am of what this public radio station provides to the community.
Very good. We only have about a minute left, but how's the transition? I mean, it's a big transition from Fox to Cub reporter, and then, of course, to general manager.
Yeah, and it's funny because so many people go, wow, you work for Fox and now you work for NPR. I'm like, well, okay, Fox 13 in Salt Lake was a Fox affiliate. So it was not owned by Fox. It was for a while, but it wasn't now. And actually, Fox may buy it back again. That just came out yesterday. Anyway, so we did not have anyone at Fox News or Fox News Channel dictating what our editorial content was at Fox 13. We went from 2.5 hours of news a day to 11 hours of news a day in the 19 years that I was there. I'm very proud of the Fox 13 team. If anyone wants to follow what's happening in the legislature, you got to follow Ben Winslow at Fox 13. He is the best Capitol Hill reporter down there, in my opinion. And then transitioning and coming up here, I was the news director down there. So I was over a staff of 82 people doing 11 hours of news a day. And then Leslie Thatcher called me and said, why don't you come up here and just be a reporter? Because I was done with TV. I wanted to retire. I wanted to sit out for a year. Leslie just roped me in, and I instantly knew what a gem this radio station is, and I wanted to be involved. And being a reporter for a year and a half was great because it was a great way to learn the community and to meet the community leaders and understand what are the issues that are really important to our listeners. And then when Larry retired, it was kind of a no-brainer to go for the job.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I love being the GM. I love everybody here. Love this community.
Renee Bodley Miller, Pledge Drive starts Monday. Please take a look at the value you think we provide and give. We 20% of our operating budget comes from the Pledge Drive.
Our goal is $125,000, you guys. I think we can do it. We're only going to go
much.
For 4 days.
Yeah. You listen to KPCW in Park City as the morning mix. We shall return right after this message. Renee, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by Long Reimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-Law.com, Fred Marshall Painting, painting Park City's home since 1974, FredMarshallPainting.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
Thanks for joining us today on The Morning Mix. We want to thank our sponsors, Campos Coffee, Squatters Roadhouse Grill and Wasatch Brew Pub, Crandall Capital, Utah Symphony and Utah Opera, Peak Art and Frame, San Francisco Design, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Utah Properties, and Park City Mountain. You can find us on Facebook at KPCW Morning Mix. Email us at morningmix@kpcw.org, which, by the way, no one does. So please, somebody email me. Or listen to our podcast online at kpcw.org. And thank our guests today. We had the Timpanogos Belvederes, Sean Tasker, Marlise Tasker, and Caleb Wall, and Andy Frasco called in. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're listening to KPCW in Park City, NPR.